In the few verses that we've read together, and Timothy is encouraged to go on in the relationship that he has with the Scriptures. And Paul tells him the benefits that would be his and anyone else's who has a relationship with the Word of God. You see, it was the Scriptures that had built Timothy up. He was a young man, and he loved the Scriptures. And he was encouraged to continue in them that he might progress as a believer and as a child of God. And each and every one of us in this gallery this morning, we need the Scriptures. We need the Word of God. If we are going to go through life, we need all the help that we can get. And we are encouraged, just like Timothy, to engage in the Word of God. We need to have that close relationship with the Word of God. If we are going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to study the Scriptures. We need to be like David of old and say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Why did God feel a need to give the original authors the Scriptures? Why did God feel a need to exert his supernatural power to inspire them to write the Scriptures? We want to look at these few verses that we've read together. And why the Scriptures? Why the Bible? Well, the Bible reveals the purpose of revelation. And of course, revelation is simply the process that God used to tell the original authors what to write. And as God revealed his mind to these original authors, what they had to say. His inspired, infallible word today continues to reveal his mind and his will for this world in which you and I live. When we look at the Scriptures, we see that they reveal God's person. The only way that anyone can ever have any knowledge of God is through the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal God to be holy, to be just, to be loving, to be glorious, to be exalted, to be gracious, to be merciful, and good. And you know, that is the God that many people in this world today like to hear about. Of course, God is good. Of course, God is great. Of course, God is gracious and merciful. But many today do not want to hear that God is also a God of wrath. He's also a God of wrath. The Bible says that he is a consuming fire, that he is a terrible God. But the only way that you and I or anyone else can ever have any knowledge of God is through the Scriptures. That's why it's important that we meditate upon his word. It reveals God's person, but it also reveals God's power. In the pages of Scripture, we can read of the awesome power of God way back in the very beginning. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This word was without void. God created this world. Not only speaks about his creating power, also speaks about his sovereign power. Being able to do things impossible by others. Think of feeding 5,000, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. impossible. But with God, it was possible. Christ walking on the storm. Christ standing in the ship in a storm, speaking to the wind and the sea, "Peace, be still." You know, that shouldn't really surprise us, because He is the creator of all things. When He created this world, He created the storm. He created the sea. He created the wind. And when He said, "Peace, be still," they were simply obedient servants listening to the Master's voice. And when we read the Scriptures, we read about the power of God. We read about His person, who He is. But we can also read about His promises. There are literally thousands of promises in the Word of God. And every single one of them has been kept or will be kept. The children of God need never, ever fear of any of the promises never being kept. He says, you know, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All these wonderful promises that are given to those who read the Scriptures. And every promise has been kept. You know, we live in a world where many people make many different promises, don't we? Promises from our government, which are rarely kept. Promises from family and friends, which are maybe sometimes kept. But we can rest assured that every promise of God is kept by God Himself. And here we see that the reason we have the Scriptures, because it reveals the purpose of revelation. It also reveals God's plan. In the pages of Scripture, we see that they are inspired, that they are infallible, and that they are inerrant. When we read the Scriptures, we can see that God's plan is to save the sinner. God's plan is to save the sinner. Just think. And yet you're not part of God's family. You're not a child of God, because there's never been a time or place in your life when you surrendered your life to Him. But here is the plan of God, that you would be saved, that you would become one of His children. And God's plan is to save the sinner. It is also to satisfy the saint. Hymn writer says, "I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but all the waters fail. Even as I stoop to drink, they mock me as I will." Now, none but Christ can satisfy. Going through life, we have tried many things of this life, and for a time, we got a certain amount of pleasure. But we were never truly satisfied until we met Christ. And the plan of God was not only to save the sinner, but it was also to satisfy the saint. It was also to secure the saint. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I lose none." There are many today, and they say that they would love to be a Christian, but they couldn't keep it. And here's the reality, that the moment we put our faith and trust in Christ, it's His responsibility to keep us. "All that the Father gives me will come, and I lose none." Jude 24. "Now unto Him who is able to keep you, to present you before His Father with exceeding joy." When we surrender our heart and life to Christ, It's His responsibility to keep us. So there's no reason why anyone cannot commit their life to Christ through the fear of losing it. Because it's He who does the keeping. And when we read the Scriptures, we see it reveals the purpose of revelation. It also reveals the purpose of redemption. As the Bible unfolds, you will see the story of redemption. Verse 15 would tell us that it's able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's why it's important to read the Scriptures. It can make us wise unto salvation. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, there is a continuous thread that runs through the Bible. And it's right about redemption. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it says that their eyes were open and they noticed that they were naked, so they covered themselves with fig leaves. Now, those fig leaves may have covered their modesty, but it certainly did not cover their sin. It was only when God came in the cool of the evening and asked Adam, "Where are thou?" Of course, Adam was hiding. Of course, God knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to admit where he was. It was only when God slew an animal and the blood was shed was Adam's sin forgiven. And when we read the Scriptures, we read that God has provided salvation. We were singing earlier, God sent His Son. Why? To provide salvation. This world stood in need of salvation. This world needed to be redeemed. And when we read the Scriptures, it shows us the wickedness of sinners. You know, there are many people, I have met many over the course of the last 29 years working for the Belfast City Mission. And today, you know, there are many who still do not see themselves as a sinner. One lady I spoke to many, many years ago on the Shankill Road. And when I said to her about being a sinner, she nearly had a heart attack. "How dare you insinuate that I'm a sinner?" I says, "I'm not saying you're a sinner. I'm saying the Word of God says you're a sinner." "I don't sin," she says. So I pretended to write my Bible. She says, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to change Scripture." She says, "What are you going to..." "For all have sinned except Mrs. Smith." She says, "You can't do that." I said, "Well, you're doing it. The Bible says that all have sinned. That's everyone who's been born and who will yet be born will be born in sin. But you're saying you're not a sinner." And for the first time in that lady's life, a little light went on in her head. The Bible shows the wickedness of sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born in sin. We're conceived in sin. That doesn't necessarily mean that our parents did anything wrong. It simply means that because of the fallen nature of Adam, we have been under the curse of Adam. And everything that we do in sin. We walk in sin. We live in sin. We're born in sin. And the Bible reveals the wickedness of sinners. But the Bible also demonstrates the wrath of God. Psalm 9, verse 17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all them that forget God." You see, God is holy. God cannot bear to look upon sin. That's why for that short moment in eternity when Christ was on the cross bearing the sin of the world, here was Christ who knew no sin, who did no sin, and in Him is no sin, but He became sin. And for a short time in eternity, God turned His back on His beloved Son, couldn't bear to look upon sin. But it said that God poured out His wrath on His beloved Son. Listen, dear friend, we need to understand what this means. That if God did not hold back His wrath from His beloved Son, if he did not hold his wrath on the angels who rebelled in heaven. When someone stands before him at the judgment, going through life, rejecting his only plan of salvation, rejecting his beloved son, I would hate to be in the shoes of those who stand there and face the wrath of God. And the scriptures reveal that God does indeed pour out his wrath on sin. The wickedness of the sinner, the wrath of the sovereign, but also demonstrates the worth of the soul. The most important thing you have in this life is your eternal soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Your soul and my soul is priceless. And that is why Christ came into this world, to die for your soul and for my soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because your eternal soul is precious to God. And if you're in this gallery this morning, dear friend, and you are not yet saved, God loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you, so that one day your soul would be with him forever in eternity. Your soul is precious. And you decide where you spend eternity. If we have chosen Christ, we have chosen heaven. If we have rejected Christ, we have rejected heaven. And here Scripture reveals to us the purpose of redemption, why we have this Scripture. It shows us that the sinner is wicked. It shows that the sovereign will pour out his wrath on those who reject his only means of salvation. It shows that your soul is worth the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven and all the praise and all the worship to die for your soul. It also shows the way of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Listen, dear friend, if you're in this gallery this morning and you're hoping to get to heaven other than through the blood of Christ, other than through the finished work of Calvary, can I say to you, dear friend, stop wearying yourself. God has an appointed way to heaven, and it's through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of Christ. And that's why we have the scriptures. It shows us the purpose of revelation, that God wanted to reveal himself to men. So he inspired men to write the scriptures. It's also there to show us the purpose of redemption, that you need to be saved, that I need to be saved, the whole world needs to be saved, and here is God's plan for redemption. It also shows us the purpose of reinforcement. In verses 16 and 17, it speaks of the benefits that we can have from a careful study of God's word. You see, after we have received God's revelation and are part of his redemptive plan, we're part of his family, the Bible, it serves to reinforce what we have committed ourselves to. You see, the Bible builds us up through standards. One of the criticisms I've faced over many, many years is the Bible is simply a rule book. You can't do this, you can't do that. You don't go here, you don't go there. What I find is that the Bible is simply a guideline for living a close life to God. If we get wrapped up in the don't do's, then we'll never do the do-do's. We'll never do what we ought to do if we're caught up with the things that we're not expected to do. And the Bible builds up through standards, but it also builds it up through symbols. When we read Scripture, we read that the Bible is like a mirror. I don't know about you, but I don't look in the mirror early in the morning. Not a pretty sight. But you know, whenever you look in the mirror, it shows you as you really are. Just like the Bible. That's why many today do not read Scripture, because they do not want to see themselves as God sees them. That when we look in the mirror, it shows us with all our warts and all. And many, many years ago, there was a king, and he asked this artist to paint a portrait of him. And he sat, and this artist spent a long time painting him. And when it was almost finished, he called a great party. All the lords and all the ladies were all invited. And there was the portrait ready to be unveiled. And whenever the artist was called in, and whenever the artist took off the cover of the portrait, the king was angry. "How dare you? How dare you paint me with a wart on my nose? Why did you paint me with a wart on my nose?" And the artist says, "You have a wart on your nose. I just painted you as you are." You see, this king wanted this artist to paint him as he saw himself. But the artist was faithful to his craft and painted him as he really was. And you know, that's why many today do not read Scripture, because when they read the Scripture shows them as they really are, hell-deserving sinners. They see themselves as God sees them. That all your good works in God's eyes are as filthy rags, no good. And when we read the Scripture, we see that it's like a mirror. It's also like a lamp. "Thy lamp, a light unto my feet, and a light unto my path." When we read the Scriptures, it develops. When we read the Scriptures, it keeps us from falling. It keeps us in the right path. That's why we need the Scriptures, to make sure that we do not deviate, that we're simply following in the footsteps of Christ. The Bible also reveals itself as a sword, because it has the ability to pierce any hardened heart. You have one in your pulpit this morning whose heart was hardened to the message of the gospel, who simply hated Christianity, who hated Christ, who hated to do He had anything to do with God. But a sword pierced my heart. And that's why it's important to read the Scriptures. It's effective. It can pierce the hardest heart. If you're in the gallery this morning and you're saved and you're praying for a son or a daughter, keep on praying. Just as my mom prayed for me for a long, long time. Because God's word can pierce even the hardest heart. Bible speaks of itself as milk. It nourishes the young. But sad to say, there are many today and they're old in the faith, but they're still feeding on the milk. Need to get away from milk. Need to get on to strong meat. It speaks about meat. Not only does that nourish the young, but it also nourishes the mature. The more you study Scripture, the more mature you will come as a believer. It speaks about bread. It can nourish us. Just as God met the need of the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness with the manna, God's word can sustain us through the life that we live here on this earth. The Bible speaks itself as a hammer because it has the ability to tear down and to build up. You know, sometimes we as believers, we need to be torn down before we can be built up. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves before God can ever use us. It speaks of a fire. You know, fire brings judgment. Fire comes to purify. Fire comes to consume. And when we look at the scriptures, we see that it reveals these things to us. It reveals God's purpose of revelation. Why God gave us the Bible? Because it's the only way we're ever going to know about God. The only way we're ever going to know about the love of God, the wrath of God. It shows us the purpose of redemption. It reveals to us that Christ was sent that first Christmas, knowing that one day he would grow up and he would go to that cross to bear your sin and my sin and his own body on that tree. But the Bible also is there for the purpose of reinforcement. That when we read Scripture, it will show us as we really are. It will show us how we can build up in our most holy faith. It can show us that we're not the perfect people that we think that we are, but the people that we ought to be. And that's why God gave us the Scriptures, to challenge us. And we need to study the Scriptures. Study to show thyself a workman, not ashamed of his tools. If you're in this gathering and you're a joiner, you don't go to work without your tools. If you're a bricklayer, you don't go without your tools. If you're a school teacher, you don't go without your tools. And as Christians, we should never go without the tools that God has given to us, his word. Let's study his word. Let's meditate upon his word so that we can be the men and the women that he would have us to be. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word to each and every one of our hearts. We trust, Heavenly Father, you would challenge us afresh. If we're saved, Heavenly Father, if we've let you down in many, many different ways that we do, forgive us. Help us to meditate upon your word. Help us to glean from your word. If we're not saved, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation that we are sinners, that we're on our way to your Christless eternity. We thank God it reveals to us how we can leave that broad road that's leading to destruction, start walking that narrow road that leads to eternal life. So, Father, speak to all of our hearts, for we ask everything in our Savior's name. Amen.